we used to hear car ignitions turn over throughout the morning, and we were accustomed to the zoom of vehicles passing our place at the end of the workday. But now, those engine sounds are thinner. We hear the crunch of tires on the street less frequently. Most people aren't climbing into their cars repeatedly, and that means we might have to care for our vehicles in a different way right now. We're talking cars this hour on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. You're part of this conversation. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. What car care questions do you have this spring? What do you want to know about getting a tune-up? Or maybe there's a car myth you would like us to bust. Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Our guest is Todd Lassa. He's the Detroit Bureau Chief for Automobile Magazine. He's been covering how the coronavirus pandemic is affecting the auto industry. Todd, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me on, Keely. Good to talk to you.
When we see more people working from home, non-essential travel not permitted, cars are just moving less, what effect can not driving on your car actually have?
Well, I think that can be overplayed, especially considering how modern cars are really good at, starting after not having been run for a while. If you have the car in constant tune-up shape and if you keep up with your oil changes, which, most manufacturers try to get you to change it every 6,000 miles, that's actually done for the dealer's benefit, so that they get your car into the dealership. Really, you can go more miles than that. But let's say for now, stick to the 6,000-mile oil change regimen. And, of course, getting the car out of winter condition this time of year in Wisconsin or Michigan, for example, is important. I think the key thing, though, is if your car's been sitting it's funny, a few weeks ago I was talking to my parents who have a three-year-old Honda Civic. They live in New Berlin, and my mom said, well, I understand I should take the car out once a week and drive it around. Well, the car's only got about 10 or 12,000 miles on it, and once a week is pretty good. Once every couple of weeks might be enough. But the key thing is if you take it out only once in a while, given the kind of lockdown and the way everybody's staying at home, and it's as serious in Michigan, if not more so than Wisconsin, is that if you take it out, drive it for maybe about a half an hour and make sure that all the fluids are flowing and so on. The first couple of minutes of driving is when the catalyst is heating up and you have higher emissions at that first 3 or 4 minute level. You should go a few more miles. You don't have to get out of your car. Just go for a drive that's, maybe half an hour or so out in the country if you can, where you don't have a lot of traffic, and then drive back.
So doing that is good for the car's battery. Why else is it necessary?
The car's battery and just in terms of, running the gasoline, burning the gas and oil and brakes, of course, are important to make sure that they don't kind of rust over and lock up. Again, on a modern car, it's not quite as if you have a car that's just a few years old and doesn't have that many miles on it, it's less important than it would be on an older car where you want to make sure the battery's going to start for you once you do get a chance to drive someplace or have to go someplace if something serious comes up.
What about speed, though? If we're supposed to be driving for 20 to 30 minutes, are in-town roads all okay? Do we need to take it out on the highway? What's your recommendation?
Yeah, no, I don't think it needs to go out on the highway. I think it just needs to run. You need to run the engine. It's better to, run a cold engine till it warms up and the car's a little warmer. And half an hour might be even more than you need. 15 minutes in many cases, especially if you do it weekly, should probably be enough. But to just start it up and run it 3 or 4 or 5 minutes around the block, you're better off going for a little bit of a drive. It doesn't need to be that far.
taking a bit of the scenery. Journalist and auto industry expert Todd Lasso is taking our questions about car care during the pandemic. And you're welcome to give us a call. We're wondering, have you been using your vehicle less? What do you want to know about how to keep it in good shape right now? Maybe you've tried some home repair jobs during this safer at home. What questions do you have? 800-642-1234 or send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Okay, other questions about the car just sitting there, Todd. What about keeping the gas tanks full while our cars are idle? Does it matter how full and how much gas we have in that car at any given time?
Well, no, not terribly much. I mean, I'm thinking in terms of my fellow car enthusiasts who have maybe classic cars they keep in the garage and don't take out at all winter long. And some people put them up on blocks to preserve the tires. Some people, put a special gasoline in and so on. My friend and colleague, Frank Marcus, who's at Motor Trend, where I worked for many years before going to Automobile, which is actually the same publisher, he has a classic car, a classic sports car, and so do I. I've got a 60-year-old Austin Healey Sprite, and I asked him, well, what does he do in the winter? He says nothing. He just parks the car. He has a heated garage, which I don't. But I started the Sprite up a couple of weeks ago, and it started just fine. Actually, I didn't even need to charge the battery.
That's encouraging. When we have the car parked, though, you mentioned a heated garage. It's, I suspect, not very many people have that. Does it matter where we park or store a car for a while? Incline, outside, those sorts of things.
No, I mean, I think it has more. It probably has more effect on the shape of the body, if you will, especially in Wisconsin. One major thing you do want to do with your car, especially if it's been sitting for the winter or if you don't get the car washed that often, is to get a good car wash. And if you're washing it yourself, make sure to spray underneath the car. Best to start it up and run it for a little while so it warms up, and then that water, just kind of evaporates quickly. But in Wisconsin, especially with all the salt used on the snowy roads, you want to make sure that all that's cleared out. There've also been as far as parking. Yeah, if you could park on a level ground, that's certainly better than parking on a hill. And if you've got a garage, that's best of all. We've got one car that we keep outside of our garage, and it's just a couple of years old. And, a key thing, I think it's more important to, keep the exterior in good condition if you're not driving it that much this time of year. One thing to watch out for is bird droppings can actually, because of the acid in those droppings, cause damage to your paint. So make sure you don't let the bird droppings accumulate and sit on your car for a while. You want to wash those off for the paint. Then there have been stories recently about rats and so on getting into car engine bays because they're dark and have soft rubbery parts that apparently the rats like to chew. So if you're in a place where you have to worry about critters like that, and certainly maybe in some more rural or even suburban areas in Wisconsin, you have to keep an eye on that.
And Todd, let's hit pause right there because I do want to talk more about rats in just a moment. Todd Lasso is the Detroit bureau chief for Automobile Magazine. He's been covering how the coronavirus pandemic is affecting the auto industry. And we're taking your questions at 800-642-1234, wondering if you work in car maintenance, how that work has changed right now, or maybe you're in auto sales. Tell us what you are seeing and if you anticipate these lower gas prices are going to have an effect on the work that you do and the cars that we drive. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. I'm Keely Boltina. This conversation continues here on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network. I'm Keeley Boltina. We're talking about cars here on The Morning Show. Our guest is automobile magazine journalist Todd Lassa. And we're taking your calls about car care and the greater industry. 1-800-642-1234. What questions do you have about car care this spring? What do you want to know about getting a tune-up? Have you been using your vehicle less? What questions do you have? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. You can also hop on Twitter, tweet us at WPR Mornings. And as you listen to the news during the morning show, you sometimes hear Kelsey Snell. She's an NPR reporter who focuses on Congress. She also had rats in her car. A couple of weeks ago, she tweeted, "Fun pro tip, drive your car maybe a few times a week. Just started ours for the first time in a week, and we have rats living in the engine." The dealership said we are the fifth people to call this week with this problem. Todd, rats, we just touched on it a bit, but remind us why critters choose to make our cars their home.
Well, they're dark. The engine bays are warm. They have the soft, rubbery bits that rats can chew into. Rats can get into an engine bay fairly easily, especially if the car is parked outdoors. I can't think of any really kind of car cover or anything else you could put on a car to prevent that, because the rat would just be able to chew through the car cover. I've heard all kinds of stories over the years of rats, various critters from your backyard, possums, that sort of thing, that get into the engine bay. Even, you know, there are some horror stories about snakes, of course. And that often happens when the cars are, the engines are warm. And if you have it in the winter in a place where it's cold, that attracts critters to the engine bay because of the warmth of the engine. Not quite so much for rats. Rats can live through all of that, and they'll chew through just to get to the parts that they think might be food. So I guess the solution might be to, if your car is parked outdoors, and I know, say, New York or Washington or other places where you have a rat problem, you need to lift the hood before you go out. If you haven't driven the car in a couple of weeks, lift the hood, see what it looks like under that, so you're not out someplace, miles from home or miles from a service center, and find out that some part of the engine has been chewed away and is about ready to stall. So that would be my only advice I could think of, is that if you haven't driven the car in a while, and if you're in a place like that, lift the hood before you go off for a drive, and just kind of visually inspect the engine bay. If you're not a car person, don't know exactly what to look for, but if you see any dangling wires or hoses or anything like that, then you should watch out and maybe not go for the drive.
All right. We are taking your calls at 800-642-1234 as we talk about car care this morning. And Ron from Madison is ready to join the conversation. Hey, Ron.
Hi. I read in the UK auto sales have dropped to the lowest monthly level since 1946, right after the war. I think it was like a 97% decline from the previous March or February, whichever, and that a lot of those being delivered were actually back-ordered all-electric cars that were in short supply. The question I wondered how it is in the U.S. The other question is on two-stroke cycle engines like snow throwers and lawnmowers that are only used seasonally. People putting their snow blowers away now and getting lawnmowers out, what do they need to do specifically with the fuel and the oil? Do they need to drain both of those and put in brand new stuff before they mothball the snow blower, or do they need to do that just before they ever start up the lawnmower? Those are the two kind of questions. Family history. Dad put emergency brakes in General Motors cars for years and years back in the 1950s. At the same time, he also worked full-time. He and his only brother ran two gas stations in Kansas City, Kansas, before we moved to the farm. Thank you.
So long history in cars there, Ron. Thank you so much. And one of Ron's questions, Todd Lassa, is about the two-piston engines and how those smaller engines might be different than our cars. Do we treat them differently than our cars?
Yeah. Two-stroke engines, which haven't been used in automobiles for a long time, although they used to be popular because they provide a lot of power for their size. But they're also very dirty, frankly. They put out more CO2, more emissions, and they are still pretty common on lawnmowers and snow throwers. I have a two-stroke snow thrower, and I have an electric lawnmower now, so I try to balance that out. The snow thrower, every year, in fact, I just did this a week or two ago, I just run the tank dry, which is, again, not very environmental, unfortunately, but it's the only thing you can do for that's easy, at least for a two-stroke engine, is if you're not going to use it again until the winter, you should certainly burn off that fuel and just make sure it's empty. So before the end of winter, try to run down your fuel and not have a lot to burn off there. And the same would be true for a lawnmower if you have a two-stroke lawnmower
okay.
at the end of summer.
Ron, I hope that helps.
Oh, and
yes, go ahead, Todd.
Well, he also Ron also had a question regarding the sales of automobiles.
Yes.
And yeah, we have just kind of a quick snapshot so far. There was something like a 40 to 50% drop, depending on the automaker, in March. So that would have been the early April sales numbers. Most automakers, auto manufacturers don't report those sales in the U.S. more than once a month. And many actually have gone to quarterly sales reports now. But there are companies that track that. Automotive News tracks that, for example. And so far, it looks like a 40 to 50% drop for March. And that's only because half the month was without car sale, without much car sales. And so April is probably going to be a lot worse when, let's say April was worse. That's right. The numbers are out. May is going to be even worse. But automakers in the U.S. so far are fighting back on that with some programs where they're trying to get people to buy cars online, which is not, you still have to go through a dealership legally. Dealerships have a lot of power in each state. They have different franchise laws. And you go to a website, you choose the car you want, you buy that. And you, nowadays, these days, during this pandemic, the automakers will the dealerships will often deliver the car to you directly. So they've been able to stem that a little bit, but we still expect a huge drop in sales for the month of May, just as was a big drop in sales in April.
Todd Lassa covers all things cars for Automobile Magazine, and we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. We're talking about the industry, car companies, manufacturing. We're also talking about car maintenance here this spring, and as we use our cars less during the pandemic, you can give us a call at 800-642-1234. Todd, what shape was the car market in before the coronavirus? I mean, we saw some big hits in 2008. They were the poster children for bailouts.
Yeah, I lived through that here in Detroit, and it was tough. It was a very tough time. We probably will see, I'm not sure where sales will end up before the end of the year, although we had a fairly strong January and February and first half of March. So if the auto, if it springs back after people start to go back to work and able to go out, then it might not be too bad. The thing is, the last few years we've had record sales. We had record sales year, all-time record sales year in the U.S. of about 17.53 million, I think it was, in 2016 or 17. And for 4 years in a row, you had 17 million car sales or more in the U.S., which is quite high. Usually there's a bit of a roller coaster or dip effect there. So the numbers coming down when you talk about 40 or 50, or even in China, for example, they were down 80 to 90% in the early part of their response to the pandemic. Then you have, it's not even that percentage number is not that bad against a 17 million unit year, but it's not going to be very good. The Ford posted, I think, a 2.2 billion dollar loss in the first quarter. General Motors actually posted a slight profit, a very small profit in the first quarter, and so did Tesla. So, it's going to be bad, but it might not be as bad as it was in 2008, 2009, 2010.
And part of that is just that cars are not able to be manufactured right now. And then the flip side is the demand side of it, that we have to figure out when people are willing to buy cars. Okay, so it's both.
Right.
Well, we can get into that a little bit more because we've got Todd Lassa staying with us as we take your questions about the automobile industry and spring car care concerns here on The Morning Show. What do you want to know? Have you tried some home auto repairs during this safer at home order? What questions do you have? Or maybe it was a success. You can share your story with us there. Maybe you work in auto sales or manufacturing. Tell us what you're seeing and how the industry is going. Do you think these lower gas prices will have an effect on car sales? 800-642-1234. There's a line for you there. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Our hour-long conversation on car care and the car industry and automotive manufacturing and sales and gas prices continues here on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina, and this is the Ideas Network. American car companies have reported already losing billions as we try to slow the spread of COVID-19. Factories are largely shut down, so companies aren't churning out shiny new vehicles. And the economic environment of this pandemic could change the kinds of cars people want to buy if they invest in them at all. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about cars this hour, how to take care of the one you've got, and what's happening in the industry as a whole. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What car care questions do you have this spring? What car use myths can we bust for you? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. We're talking with Todd Lassa, who's the Detroit Bureau Chief for Automobile Magazine. He's been covering how the coronavirus pandemic is affecting the auto industry. And Patrick in Wisconsin Dells is ready to talk with us. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, during the introduction, the guest said the word incentives. I got to tell you, I took advantage of the 84-month 0% that Dodge was putting out. And I got to tell you, I bought a 2500 Ram diesel. They've never, as far as two decades that I can remember, ever put out a rebate like that. 84 months, 0%. I took advantage of it. Talking about a cost of money savings to the consumer, if you can take advantage of that and find a platform that you really like. I just wanted to bring that up because that's just extraordinary. And the guest had brought up some incentives that manufacturers have introduced, whether briefly or maybe are still running. But
yeah, Patrick, when did you take advantage of that incentive?
Actually, it was at the end of March.
Okay.
People were moving quickly. You could barely find a vehicle that you were, if you're looking for a certain thing, the vehicle base, they were drying up pretty quick. But I was fortunate enough to be able to find the truck that I wanted. Cummins diesel 2500 three-quarter ton. It's just extraordinary that they offered that kind of package, and the 3-month deferred payment was just amazing. So, hey, the way I look at it, a lot of people are going to always be paying a car payment on a car, whether it's 84 months or 72 or 60. I just couldn't walk away from that. And, it was just, I don't know if I'm going to call it once in a lifetime, but I thought it was, I think I need to move on this. So
yeah,
for those that did, that's free money. That's free money.
Patrick, thank you for sharing your perspective and the decision-making process for you. And Todd, we have Patrick here who, at this time of, low gas prices now, is investing in a diesel truck because car companies are saying, here, take them.
Yes, and he's right that those incentives are continuing, at least through the time being, and We've seen the 0% financing. We've seen, for example, Hyundai reviving its guarantee that if you lose your job or are laid off or whatever after buying the car, you can return it without paying anything on the car. You get your money back, basically. This kind of came up way back after the 9/11 2001 disaster, the attacks, that General Motors started something called Get America Rolling Again, because people just weren't going anywhere back then, just as they are not going anywhere now, and that got people to start buying cars again. So, you know, it's important that the auto manufacturers sell these cars and trucks and make a good profit on it, especially if they're going to move to the next thing, which is electric vehicles. Those vehicles are costly to build, and they need the profits to be able to move on to those.
And yet, you know, Patrick is simply one example, but we do see lower gas prices right now. We do see people looking for those larger vehicles. I mean, are companies going to still be on track in the next several years to make electric cars, or does this change the equation for them?
That's a good question. Ford has its Mustang Mach-E that it's going to introduce next year, and that's an electric Mustang SUV-type vehicle or CUV-type vehicle crossover. General Motors has announced 10 new electric vehicles by 2025. They actually had a program in the Detroit area on it in early March, just before all of this happened. Volkswagen, as part of its Dieselgate scandal, is going to be expanding its electric vehicle program in the U.S. Quite a bit, with affordable electric vehicles, cars that are in the $20,000 and $30,000 range, probably more 30s than 20s. But you have to pay for that, and you have to sell for now the big gasoline and diesel trucks, for example, which have a huge profit margin. There's a couple of narratives going on here. You have automakers, and you have some studies saying that people will no longer want to use mass transit, so they'll want to buy personal cars. And the question is, well, how do you do that in a place like New York or San Francisco or any other major metro area where the streets are already crowded and there's no place to park? And you also have the narrative on the kind of the urban planning side, where Oakland, California, for example, a few weeks ago shut down several of its streets just so people could use streets normally where you would normally drive your car on to social distance and still have pedestrians and bicyclists be able to pass each other by. You're also talking about doing that in the future. I even heard on the CBC that Winnipeg, Manitoba, which is not a San Francisco type of place, as far as I know, is considering doing that sort of thing, in part so that you can extend outdoor cafes and have more space for restaurants, for example. So you have this car versus bike kind of narrative going on. How are we going to move forward from this? I think, you know, no matter what happens, the landscape is going to be a lot different in the next couple of years. And I think EVs could come on strong if we choose to go in that direction. But now you have very low gasoline prices. That's always an incentive to stick with the old technology that's cheap to buy and easy to use.
Yeah, EVs, electric vehicles.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We are talking with Todd Lassa, who covers all things cars for Automobile Magazine, and we are covering all things cars in this The Morning Show. We are taking your calls at 800-642-1234. You've got a line to Todd here wondering, what car questions do you have right now? What do you want to know about getting a tune-up, or how to make sure that your vehicle is in tip-top shape during this pandemic? We're also talking about sales and oil prices. So if you've got a question about auto manufacturing or the car industry, now is the time. 800-642-1234. You can also send us your question at ideas@wpr.org. Todd, you mentioned that car companies have changed some of their services because of the financial pressure that is coming upon some consumers. What about car insurance? We've heard that some have actually refunded customers some money or cut some rates because people are driving less. Is now a good time to renegotiate?
It would be, and depending on which car insurance company you have, you should be getting a rebate automatically anyway, or have your next bill heavily reduced. And by the way, one other thing that is happening is that some auto manufacturers are extending their warranties. Let's say you have a car that's a year or two old that has a 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty. Well, if you've not been driving it the last couple of months, you might reach that 3 years before you reach the 36,000 miles. So some manufacturers, I know Porsche is one, and I know that's a pretty lofty kind of brand in terms of price, but I think maybe some of the other manufacturers might follow suit and extend the warranties a bit so that, you know, when you go past 3 years and don't have 36,000 miles, you still have a couple more months of warranty left.
What is the incentive for car insurance companies or car companies when you're talking about extending warranties right now? I mean, what did they get out of it to extend the warranty on my vehicle?
Well, they, first of all, they keep you as a customer, and they also get you back into the dealership to maintain that car during that warranty period, which, you know, I tend to do. After the warranty's over with, you go off to an independent service station mm-hmm. and have your car maintained.
It's generally less expensive.
Yes, exactly. So if you want to try to, you know, keep your car in compliance with the warranty over 3 years, 36,000 miles, you tend to go to the dealership at least for that period. So this kind of brings you back in. And then, hey, maybe by the time that that extended warranty is done with, maybe you're ready for another new car. That's what they're hoping.
All right. So it's really keeping your attention throughout this time and making sure that you know that they're there for you. That's good to know.
Yes.
Spring is generally a time when people think, yeah, I should get my car tuned up. I should get it all checked out and make sure it's good to go. What kind of car maintenance should we be focusing on right now?
I think it should just be the standard maintenance. I think you should be focusing on, you know, if you maintain your car well, you should be doing regular oil changes and you should be watching the tune-ups, although the tune-ups go long, many, many miles now. And again, I think the keeping the car clean, washing it, and especially in Wisconsin, the salt that can get into the underbody is something you should keep in mind. It's something you should watch. You've got a lot of electronics now too. So yeah, the battery is something you have to be careful with. Make sure it's maintaining a charge. And if the car is more than, 4 or 5 years old, you might be looking at a new battery. So the cars, the way they're built these days, are way more reliable than back in the 70s when I was driving my first cars in southeast Wisconsin and had to get through the winter with some old cars. So, they start up better these days. Generally they're in pretty good shape after a few years. And you should just do the regular maintenance on them.
All right. Todd Lassa stays with us as we take your questions about automobiles, spring car care concerns, and also the car industry. There's a line for you at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have for Todd this morning as we span all over the different aspects of having cars, owning cars, buying cars? Give us a call now, 800-642-1234. I'm Keely Boltina. We continue this conversation here on The Morning Show. It's the Ideas Network. Our cars are spending a lot of time in park these days, and that connects to how we care for our vehicles, fuel prices, even manufacturers' plans for new cars that they're planning to make over the next several years. It's The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina, and we're talking about everything cars, from spring tune-ups to what consumers are willing to buy when they're in the market for new wheels. And there's still time for your question at 800-642-1234. We're talking with Todd Lassa, who covers how the new coronavirus is affecting cars. He writes for Automobile Magazine. And Marcus in Milwaukee wants to talk a little bit about insurance. Hey, Marcus.
Good morning, Keely. So I am absolutely appalled at what the DMV has proposed and is planning to go through with by handing out driver's licenses to people who have not taken the actual driving test. I realize it may be inconvenient for parents, but we wouldn't take it and just go because you graduated high school. We're going to let you into Harvard without taking the ACT or the SAT. And as soon as one of these young drivers ends up in a major accident, injuring or, God forbid, killing somebody, we're going to have massive lawsuits suing the DMV, and we're going to end up with the Wisconsin DMV approaching insolvency.
All right. Thanks, Marcus. What Marcus is referring to is the fact that teen drivers in Wisconsin won't have to pass a behind-the-wheel road test to get that driver's license right now. So, Todd, potential that even though insurance companies are cutting rates now, Marcus is concerned those might go up. What do you think?
I think that's a pretty good concern. I think that the U.S. in general, any state, and of course this is all state-controlled, depending on where you live, how the DMV test is administered. The driving, the training, the testing, everything that happens in any state in the U.S. is far inferior to the type of tests that they have in places like the U.K., in Germany, and much of the rest of Europe. And they, you know, they need to stick with they need to have a behind the wheel test for young drivers. I think especially these days with so many people just spending all their time on phones in the cars, you know, they've turned cars into rolling phone booths. So, you know, my nephew, Jeff, in Wauwatosa, a few years ago, I taught him how to drive a stick shift so he could, and that's all he drives now. And that's a lost art. And that's something that keeps young drivers from using their phones if they have to shift the gears themselves. So I'm pretty adamant about, and I'm pretty upset about the idea that we're going to make it actually easier to get a driver's license than harder, which is the way it should be.
All right. Thanks for that. We've also got Stephen in Stillwater, Minnesota, who's ready to join the conversation. Stephen, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you. And my question was that I was talking about the way manufacturers now make it so that it's even harder for a person to do even their own general maintenance on the car. You know, like I said, I was saying I had a PT Cruiser that where the heater block went out or got a crack in it, and you have to go through the dashboard just to get to it, just replace it, you know. My question is, are there any vehicles that you can look out for that are a little more maintenance-friendly to the user?
Interesting. Steven's looking to do some of his own maintenance. What do you think, Todd?
Steven, I'm afraid you're out of luck. I think cars have gotten way more complex. You have so many electronics in cars these days, whether it's got a navigation system or not. You have all kinds of, you know, cars nowadays have backup cameras. They have lane control assistance. They have, you know, cross traffic control. They have all kinds of electronics that this is the thing that, you know, if you have to worry about maintenance on a new car, you have to watch out for is whether all those systems are working properly. And, you know, that's probably going to be the big thing in the coming weeks as we get the cars back out of hibernation is what happens to all these electronic systems. It's just getting harder, not easier.
Todd Lasso covers all things cars for Automobile Magazine, and we are discussing spring car care and tune-ups and maintenance, but also what's happening industry-wide with manufacturing and even oil prices. And that's where I want to go next, Todd. Last month, oil prices were the lowest they've been since the 1940s. What is behind these low prices? How long do you think it'll last?
Oil actually got to a negative number per barrel. The price of a barrel of oil got to minus $43, I believe, at one point, one sort of oil anyway. You know, it's not just the fact that we're not using oil, that we're not consuming it. Well, first of all, you've got several factors. You've got China now is making a fairly big concerted shift toward EVs. And if we let them go to EVs, they'll be selling us EVs in a few years, unless we have, as I mentioned, GM and VW and Ford and other manufacturers are working on EVs for the U.S. market. So that will decrease oil consumption. You've had production in the U.S. Go up quite a bit in the last few years and become the biggest. We've become the biggest oil exporter. And then you have the Saudi and Russian fight over oil prices that started just before the pandemic kind of became an international, a global thing, and that will keep prices down. The thing about low oil prices is that it takes away the incentive to move to something like EVs, and nevertheless, these automakers are working to try to make EVs less expensive so that you can buy an EV for the price of a gasoline-powered car and have the same kind of range up to 400 miles, and the car companies would presumably make money on it. But I think going forward in the next few years, we're going to see a big shift in the entire auto industry, and we probably have too many manufacturers and probably too many brands, and some of them are going to have to combine, go away, maybe offer fewer cars, at least fewer conventional gas-powered cars.
There was a moment there where gas prices here dipped below $1 a gallon, and now it's back up. It's still below $2 a gallon, but do we have any idea, do car companies even have any idea how long we should plan to see prices in this range, or could it change tomorrow?
Yeah, you know, you mentioned the 2008 financial crisis and what that did to the auto industry. And part of that financial crisis, that came along with like $4 to $5 per gallon gasoline in the U.S. So that really helped. That was a double whammy against the automakers back then. I don't think you're going to see gas prices go up to that level. I don't think it's going to stay below a dollar for very long, because OPEC and you've got American producers, they're starting to file bankruptcies. Some of the smaller oil producers in Texas and Oklahoma are laying off people, or they're stopping exploration for oil, which is fairly expensive, and so that will drive the prices back up. But I think you still have enough of a glut that I don't see it going. You know, it might get back up to $3 a gallon, which is where we were, I think, late last year, and maybe a little bit more than that. But I don't think you're going to see $4 or $5 per gallon gasoline without any added tax anytime soon.
And Todd, look into your crystal ball for us. What do you think the auto industry will look like in the next year or two?
Boy, yeah, everybody's wondering what it's going to look like. Again, I think you're going to see maybe some consolidation, and you're going to see some automakers struggling to get through this. If it's a smaller automaker, you're going to see companies like GM and VW still trying to introduce new EVs and kind of change what the whole market is. But it's like everything else. It could be a new world once we get past this pandemic, and we're not exactly sure when that's going to be. Probably not till sometime next year. So it'll be a few years after that before we know.
All right. I appreciate you taking a stab at that question. It's not exactly the easiest, I don't think. And I'm sure we will be interested to check back in with you as we see all of this unfold in the short term and then over the next several years. Todd, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Can I give you a quick shout out to my parents, Norm and Diane in New Berlin?
Absolutely.
And,
hi.
And to their neighbors, Tom and Barb Strawinski.
I love the Wisconsin connections. Todd Lassa is the Detroit bureau chief for Automobile Magazine, but has deep roots here in Wisconsin. He's been covering how the new coronavirus pandemic is affecting the auto industry. So we've covered all things from spring maintenance to gas prices to car manufacturers and consumer demand here on The Morning Show. Stay with us. The State Capitol Report is next. I'm Keeley Boltina, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.